The following podcast is scheduled for one fall with no time limit.
Super Hot Fire!
The greatest spectacle in podcast entertainment, Mr. Nestlemania!
That was literally verbal diarrhea. I'm setting the bar awfully low. Titus O'Neil keeps running directly into that bar. Get him off my TV, get him off my TV. You make me very angry.
The man who has a better IQ than you, the awe-inspiring JC!
You should go work for WWE because you'd be so up far on Vince's
no,
butt.
No, no, no,
oh, you are
no,
such
no,
a
no,
suck
no,
up.
No,
you defend everything, all the bad moves they make.
This is the Jobber Knocker Podcast.
What's up, jobbers, and welcome to the latest edition of the Jobber Knocker Podcast. As always, is Nestlemania alongside for the ride is the man that just had a birthday, JC. Look at you, you old sack of shit.
Another year around the sun. Paul Pierce jersey's out. But Nestlemania, my birthday was yesterday. Today is May 16th. Not only is it my dear friend Gavin's birthday, but also Nestlemania, birthdays with JC is back because Homo sapiens rise. Happy 29th birthday to Omos.
I shit my pants when I found out he was 29. I thought he must have been 38. Like, he is so fucking young. Like,
can you pronounce his last name is the real question.
Can you pull it up? I'll try.
Jordan Agabunum.
Omos's real name,
it's Jordan, and that's a O, and then it's a lot of letters.
Oh my gosh, hold on. Yeah. The first name alone will trip me up. Phonetically it is Omagabian.
That's I'm gonna stick with Omos. Happy birthday, Omos.
Omagabian. Omega BN. Yeah, I feel pretty confident with Omega BN.
Yeah, we'll see if you're right.
I doubt it. Let's put it into some phonetic thing on Google. It'll be fine. Anywho, he's 29. You're 38. It's fine.
Uh-uh. What?
I'm just trying
to
add age.
Do you not know Paul Pierce's number? Shame on you.
I'm just trying to add age.
You're like 48, so.
Excuse me. I am not 38. I am not that old comparatively to you. Anywho, let's get into the regular part of the podcast here. Always in the shine. Let's start off positive. We got a lot to talk about here, JC.
Yeah, so my leading shine was Omos's 29th birthday. But besides that, it was a week of wrestling. Stuff happened. And, God, if you asked me what my favorite thing in wrestling was this week, and I couldn't say anything from NXT and AEW.
That's
I don't know,
Nestle.
I'm going to put this one in your court because there was nothing this week that I like. Every week there's usually one thing I'm like, this was amazing. But this week it's just.
So here's something that I'll be positive about, because I think this is something that to me bears repeating, is I was actually really happy with. And again, low hanging fruit, but I was really excited for the new people injected into Monday Night Raw. I thought that was good. Some on SmackDown, but more, it was really apparent on Raw. But the other thing that I loved was like the video packages. Like, not that Apollo Crews is going to be a world champion, but after that hype, I was just like, okay, I'm in.
Apollo!
And then the JD McDonough thing, I was just like, come on.
They listened to our podcast when I said, you need to give this man the full treatment so people can see how fucking cool he is.
I get jazzed up. I get boned up for some wrestling packages. Obviously we work in production, but it does wonders for people who are just sitting on the sidelines. So I thought that was super positive. And I'm curious, this might be heat for you, but I'm interested. I wouldn't necessarily say entertained or it's a super positive, but the Seth Rollins sit down interview, I think it's an interesting way to keep him on television, even though it seems like he's going to be in the Marvel universe, as we can see on the old dirt sheets. I'm curious how you felt about it, because I thought they did a wonderful job making him seem like a big deal when he's not there, kind of. But my one thought was, when I was watching this, are they going to do the same for AJ on Friday?
I don't think so. I think AJ's there. I think this was a design that Seth is probably not going to be on TV the next 2 weeks. And I do enjoy sit downs. Like, we've seen them in the past with like a lot of the top stars going into them. It kind of gives it a different feel. But I'll be honest, this one in particular, I zoned out. Didn't they have a couple parts? I think I zoned out for almost each one, which it's probably more of a me thing than whatever. But it was one of those where it was just, I don't know. I'm a little disenchanted with this tournament to begin with. So even like with them giving all the treatment and hyping it up, I still can't get past all the reasons that we bitched about like the last couple weeks with this thing. And it's just hard for me to get invested. And that doesn't mean they're doing a bad job in terms of like that sit down and trying to make it better. It just, I might be already gone at this point. So I don't know. I mean, Seth and AJ is going to be a banger. It'll be a great match. Those guys are phenomenal. They're excellent, but I don't know. I'm just very disenchanted with the whole thing still.
I find it really interesting because usually when we talk, I'm disenchanted immediately and you are not. So it's bizarre to me that we're the shoes on the other foot here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of things and it's unfortunately a lot of things on the top of the card right now that are they're just not fully grabbing me. I mean, we're going to get to the bloodline stuff and it was just like we said, Roman comes back, Roman makes things better, but I don't know if we want to get in those ramifications right away, but in terms of this World Heavyweight Championship, I don't know. I will say the other thing that like just the Seth AJ just seems way predictable because at least if it was like Edge, I could have sold myself that maybe Edge would win. I think there's probably like a 0% chance that AJ wins because they just literally shipped him to SmackDown and made him a focal point there, the house that AJ built. So you're telling me he's just immediately going to come back to Raw. So it just seems like that's the other side of the coin for me with this whole tournament is that it just has been so fucking predictable. Like there's no surprise, you know, at least when AEW does their shitty tournaments, like you get Private Party knocking out the Young Bucks round one. You're like, oh, wow. Holy shit. We were there for that, by the way. Yeah. But it's just, I don't know. This one, I don't know. It's not hitting for me, as the kids would say.
Hitting for you. Well, here's my other question to you then. Is there any way that this championship match is going to be the last thing on the show?
Oh my God. They'll be lucky for the opener. They'll probably call it like what the third main event because I mean, Roman's Brock. A main event. Cody and Brock is a main event. And then there's this cute little mid-card title, which honestly, you know what I will say? I do have a favorite part of Raw. My favorite part of Raw was the way they treated Gunther. They made him feel like he was the fucking stud. And I'm watching this and I'm just like, you don't need a fucking World Heavyweight Championship because Gunther in the IC title, just make that the focal point. Make that the focal point until fucking Tribal Cuck over there loses it. Because I'm watching him like, they're doing a good job by Gunther. He's everywhere. He looks strong. I loved how much I was seeing Imperium. He's a fucking stud. I'm like, you could really build this show like around him and Cody and those guys and without this little like little fake championship. So that was probably my biggest shine from Raw. But it made me think even more like, man, this fucking title, this new fucking title, it's going to take me a while. It's going to take me a while to really embrace it.
Do you think that your mind will change if they have bangers after bangers after bangers? Or is it more like you won't be happy and satisfied until Roman Reigns loses that championship and then it's equal again?
I don't, it's especially because when Roman comes back on Friday, what does he have, Nestle? Two championships.
Yep.
So it's like he still has them. Like they're still there. And he might be adding fucking eight more to his fucking arms at Night of Champions. We'll get there. But like, I don't know. It feels like a fucking mid-card title. It looks like a mid-card title. It just is being fought for by a bunch of people that like, you know, like they're great. But it's just like when you have the way Roman is and how hot Cody is and Brock, it feels less than. So it's going to take a while before I embrace it. Maybe that's like over time, I think everything can be fixed and resurrected. But in the short term right now, like that light at the end of the tunnel is very, very dim. We have a long way to get to that light. We're stuck in this darkness for a while.
So I'm only saying this because I can't believe I'm being the positive one here. Like this is like ridiculous to me. So remember how we
should tell you something.
What?
I should tell you something how shitty this fucking shit
no,
is.
No, I know. But remember how we shit directly on the Universal Championship? We're like, what a fruit roll-up championship.
It looked terrible. And then they redesigned it.
But no, they didn't redesign it. They just put a blue strap on it. They didn't do anything different to it.
It looks way better than the original. I mean, they never really fixed the tag belts. Those things still look like shit. Even still, like, do you still like the name Universal? I still don't really like the name Universal. I think it's a shitty name. I agree. We should have a WWE Championship and a World Heavyweight Championship. Because that was great. But it's just like, it's one of those things. Like if you're going to go back all the way in, like, don't give me this like ugly looking title that's smaller than the big gold, you know, I don't know.
I think it's interesting because we hated the thing, and then Roman really brought it back to prominence. Not saying Roman's going to make this World Heavyweight Championship the prominent
Roman
thing,
but... brought it to prominence because he's Roman. Like, you could have gave him a fucking rain pop and we would have called it the best championship in wrestling.
Yeah, that's true. But I think there's a lot of comparisons and similarities because I think that the Universal Championship was kind of dead in the water. And of course, Mick Foley, you know, prating it out made it look like shit to begin with. But that's because I have a personal bias against the human being. But I will say, too, that I think after a while, like, maybe it's because the side plates aren't on it yet. I don't know. Like, I feel like there's going to be something that makes us go, okay, it's not that bad.
Over time, once we go on the other show and there's not two belts anymore, and then there's just the World Heavyweight Championship belt and then the fucking single WWE Universal, whatever the fuck you want to call it, belt. But as long as Roman has two fucking straps over his shoulder, we're going to be looking at that thing like that's just a fake Intercontinental title.
Okay, that's fair. And since we're here, we might as well talk about Roman, right?
Yeah, because Roman's back, and like I've been saying all along, like, when Roman's on TV, it's must-see TV. He's amazing. He's phenomenal. The way he interacts with Heyman, with Solo, with the Usos, it's just, it's perfect. But it just more shines the light on it. And this is just, it's wild because, I mean, it's weird. I mean, this is heat in the shine. Like, I don't even have any other shine, so I don't even care. But
just get it, go in the heat. That's fine. We can.
The reason why I'm saying it is that I literally, my notes just say, LOL, Roman ain't defending his fucking... He has two championships. He's not defending any of them. Probably not till Money in the Bank now at the earliest. And then after that, SummerSlam. And then after that, Royal Rumble. So what does he have? Three title defenses before WrestleMania? It's just like, it's hilarious, which is why they're adding another title. But it's like, he comes back and he's not even defending his fucking title. He's going to get more titles. And that raises the question of like, how the fuck did you book this? Like, do you just have Roman and Solo in the tag belts? So he looks like a fucking... Paul has to fucking get, like, an assistant to carry all this shit? Or do you book it that Sammy and KO get a win over Roman Reigns, which Roman Reigns doesn't lose? And, oh, by the way, you know who else doesn't lose? Unless if it's Cody Rhodes? Solo Sikoa. So, I mean, I'm curious how they're going to book it. There's also the part of me being like, how do we split the tag belts coming out of this match where Roman and Solo can be the tag champs on SmackDown, feud with the Usos all over the summer, and Roman still not defend his singles titles, but whatever, and then get like the Raw titles where we can have KO and Sammy versus Judgment Day and Imperium and all these other teams. Like, that was going through my mind, but I'm like, how do we get there? And I was like, the way we get there is Roman just wins those fucking titles too. And it just becomes the Roman rule. When Roman has all the titles, you just make a new slot. And Raw adds the World Tag Team Title Tournament to crown the first tag team champions and just ignores what's going on in SmackDown with Roman and all his necklaces.
So I have a theory. Ooh. If I could book this is what I think is going to, I hopefully think is going to happen between now and Night of Champions. We're going to get Roman and Solo even worse with the Usos being like, motherfucker didn't even pick us. Like, we can do this. He thinks he's going to go out there and do this. And I think the Usos are accidentally going to cost them the match. Now, Solo's eating that pin. It ain't going to be Roman. Roman is not going to take the L. He's just not. I would be shocked that they
waste an L. Takes an L on the official record, though.
No, but he's done that before. He's been in a match where he lost. But
with Sammy, not with Solo. That's why it's so interesting to me.
No. But I'm just saying, like, he did take an L. He just, on paper, he took an L, but he didn't actually get pinned or submitted. So there is a difference here. I think that's what they're doing is if KO and Sammy can win here, because here's the other thing to think about, JC. Let's just say we take the promo from Sammy, right, on Raw, where he called him a fucking psycho, and he said all these awful things about him and whatever, and, you know, everything's coming to fruition. If Solo is the one that eats the pin, now he's gotten to be pissed at Solo and the Usos, and then everything is just going to fall apart even quicker. So for me, I'm okay with it. I think, but if he wins, if they win.
I kind of want him to win. Oh, I've entered full fuck it mode with WWE, yeah, and the way they're booking. I'm just like, you know what? Maybe I'll have something more with Roman in my hope a little later, but it's just like, I don't even care anymore.
Give him
the fucking tag belts. Like, give him the women's tag belts. Give him the women's championships. Give him all the NXT titles. Give him the retired NXT UK titles. Hell, let him go over to AEW and beat MJF.
So So the wrestling historian in me was like, you probably don't know this, but Ultimo Dragon at one point had 9 titles. And so he had a wheelbarrow. Like his manager gave him a wheelbarrow and he would walk out with all 9 championships.
What is the Samoan version of that?
God, I don't know. I mean, a barbecue pit, maybe? I don't know. Like, you know when you roast a pig? Maybe they just put all the titles on a giant skewer and they just take it out. It'd be great. It'd be fucking great. Have a luau every time Roman comes back. It'd be great. Hey, I'm just saying. He's Roman Reigns, man. He's Roman fucking Reigns. What are you going to do? If he leaves in the next year, this is all for naught, right? Like, think about that. If he becomes Mr. Modern Era biggest champion of all time and then just fucking bounces, after
that's what they all do, though, because after that's that, so what weird. Do you do? Once he loses, what does he do? He obviously will take time off, but it's like, what do you do? Because anytime you come back, it's like, sure, you can run a rematch, but then it just like kind of tarnishes him in more. It's one of those, it's like, I feel like that's kind of how it has to end, at least for a while. Like, then he does go to the Hollywood thing for a year or two, and then maybe he comes back and we have a match. Like, maybe by then Solo's the world champion and Romo champ. You know what I mean? So I just, it's one of those that I, like, that's why, like, whether it just, I was fully believed, like, oh yeah, this is it for him for now. And after WrestleMania, it'll be whatever. Maybe he comes back at SummerSlam, but clearly he's doing at least one more year. But yeah, no, I think that's kind of what has to happen.
So our boy Danny asked, if someone cashes in on Roman, do they get one belt? I don't even think anybody's going to cash in on Roman because
these are the questions we were asking all last year. Remember, we're like, oh, can someone just win one of the titles from Roman? But it seems like the last however many times he's defended them as one.
Yep.
So
that's fine.
Ever since that Roman Brock match, it's just the greatest match in WrestleMania history, or the fuck they called it.
Yeah.
The biggest main event ever. It ruined the fucking main event scene in WWE.
Well, it is what it is.
So you think you're going with the most obvious thing, which is that the Usos somehow, whether on purpose or not on purpose, cost Roman and Solo, and KO and Sammy just sneak out a win. So again, we're not getting anything definitive here.
No, I think here's you're going to laugh and say, well, duh, because this is the way that WWE operates. But like, I would like to put up to the big G man that, There is some decorum and logic that you're already cucking one set of championships, cucking another set. In they're building
cuck 'em all, baby.
They're building a tag division, and for Roman Reigns to kill not only the singles division but the men's tag division by being a champion, to me, does a disservice for any male that is not a mid-carder. Like, it is beyond, like, my face is going to melt if it happens, because I'm just going to laugh, because that's all. It's one of those things, like, when you're your parent, you're just like, you have to laugh or you're going to cry. Like, at this point, you got to laugh, because what the fuck are you going to do?
You're a little behind me in the grieving process, Nestle, but I've been here for a little while now, and that's why I'm just like, fuck it. Because honestly, if they can find a way that the tag titles get split coming out of this, and I would be all for Roman and Solo as champion taking on the Usos at SummerSlam or something like that. I think that would be awesome, because it'd be a way for Roman to feud with the Usos, obviously without it being for the world titles. You know what I mean? So that to me is interesting. But how do we get there? And also, if we do that, how do we get rid of the Undisputed label so Raw, which has a million great tag teams, can do their own thing and we can truly fucking get this brand split? Even though right now it feels like the draft did almost nothing, because it still feels like wonky world, man, where everyone can do whatever the fuck they want.
So not necessarily. I think I'm going to switch gears if you're okay with that.
Yep.
Okay. So something that I actually enjoyed, but there's a big heat in here for obvious reasons. I was very interested in the way that they did the battle royal on Raw. I thought the one thing you can always love a battle royal, but what I loved about the battle royal in certain aspects was the little mini feuds that you get to see, right?
Like, I know why you liked it.
Well, no, that's actually my heat. That's actually my heat, but I'll get to that in a moment. But I mean, having all these little things here going, like, okay, here are our C and D feuds going forward. I'm okay with that. I like knowing where I'm going sometimes, and like, to that, I'm okay. But then there were like other things that just fucking blew my mind. But like, I'm going to just rattle a couple off right real quick, and then you can tell me how you feel about them. Because for me, are you excited for the male models versus Dexter and probably Johnny Gargano?
I think Dexter is the perfect fit for a feud with them. Yeah, Maxine will be on my TV. I'm cool with it.
No, she's with Otis.
Otis is part of the male models. He's a 31. Okay.
Well, I know this one you're all in on. JD McDonough versus Dolph Ziggler.
I mean, I'm all in on JD McDonough. It's just typical that they get the Dolph treatment, but I'm fine with
Welcome
that.
To the main roster.
Here's also, Dolph but Ziggler. How did you feel about all the free agents being in here? Like Dolph, so, the guy who won is technically a free agent. Like,
right. And so here's my other thing about this entire thing was like, I'll get to my heat in a second. But the one thing that I really thought was bizarre to me was like, Ali wins, right? Now, granted, I assume it's because of where we're headed in a week and a half.
Oh, you think?
But
really,
that's a little on the nose.
They can't do it with Mansoor this year because he has a different gimmick.
So. Of course, he'll probably whatever. But the other thing was, I guess it's time for me to put on a different hat because. They put Von Wagner in the Battle Royal, folks.
He got eliminated during commercial.
They put him. They didn't even say anything. They didn't even say he was eliminated, I don't think.
Nope.
I mean, you want to talk about – I wish I could put this over my headphones. I don't think it will work.
Put it sideways.
Yeah. So you think that you can – thanks. So you – Von Wagner needs to be able to do something. And I was so excited that he was on my TV. I was like, oh my God, graphic. I actually got a text from Joe. He was like, you are going to be insufferable tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, I don't know why that is, but I love it. So I do that. And then I'm like, oh my God, where is he? Like at a commercial break, where is he? And I'm so angry. I'm beyond angry. Like I'm sitting there going, now, maybe there's a positive to this, and I'd like to think there's a positive. You want to know what
the positive is? It was his main roster debut. There's your positive.
You
want
to know what the positive is here?
Yeah.
He technically, we don't know for sure if he got eliminated. Did they say he got eliminated?
I would assume he got eliminated during the commercial.
I would think so.
There are a couple people missing.
But I would just say it was just weird. It was just weird. That's all I'm saying, because maybe they were protecting him in their own WWE way, but that man needs to be on my TV. I'm glad he was on my TV. I'm not giving him my comeback, but I cannot sit there and say to myself, that was a good showing. But at least they tried. At least they tried in that Battle Royal. But Von Wagner should not have won it anyway, so maybe he shouldn't have never been in the beginning. That's all. The one thing that I was confused about was...
I can't take you seriously.
Well, when can you? The one thing I was concerned about was... So nobody really got an entrance... except for a couple people. And then Riddle came out and flung his sandals at Imperium. And I thought to myself, well, there's a feud, right? Like that's the antithesis of Walter / Gunther. And I don't mind seeing that. I really don't mind seeing that.
I think you will. That's definitely probably high on the list because that'll be
that's
hard
a SummerSlam or yeah. SummerSlam or multi, you know,
cause we assume Gunther's holding this thing probably throughout the most of this year at minimum.
I would imagine he's going to break the Honky Tonk Man's record, right? That's
yeah. When do we know when that's up?
I think it's like 400 days or something like that. So he's just at SummerSlam. I think he's approaching 365. I think.
Okay. So yeah.
If you want to look it up, I'll look it up. But like,
I would think Riddle would be a big show feud for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's see if I can get these on. I feel like Mickey Mouse. This is cool. But yeah, no. I mean, it's it's Von Wagner's world and we're all living in it. That's all I'd like to say about that. That's all. And the fact that he got eliminated during the commercial break is a travesty. And honestly, he's still not eliminated. He should be the number one contender to the IC championship.
You're out of control. This Battle Royal was fine. I'm a big fan of Battle Royals. They're fun. I was very mild when Mustafa Ali won. It made sense immediately why they did it, but I was just like, I don't know. But it's weird to me because It's I don't know if you've noticed this, but with these free agents, quote unquote, Baron Corbin has only been on SmackDown. Ali and Ziggler have only been on Raw. So why didn't they just get drafted to this? It's such a weird, it's just another thing with the draft. It just, I don't know.
We
everything's a fucking mess right now. Can they just figure this shit out? Figure it out.
We got done. Was it last week or the week before? Saying the free agents are people they have no fucking clue what to do with.
Yeah, they were just veterans. They're like, we can plug and play these guys whenever we want. But I'm watching week to week. I'm like, Corbin's gonna be on SmackDown every week. Ali's gonna be on Raw. It seems like most weeks. And now Ziggler's feuding with one of the new guys on Raw. So it's just like,
well, maybe
Ziggler. Here's what I want. Bonus hope: get Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander to do little programs down at NXT, because I want to see those guys work with everyone, especially like Wesley. Those could be some absolute bangers. And Shelty Carmelo and a little one-off on TV. Oh yeah.
Sure.
What do you mean, sure? You're an idiot. Oh my god.
Is that a rhetorical?
This guy gets a huge erection for Von Wagner, but doesn't get celebrated when we'd actually have in-ring mastery on display with mastery? A young talent and an old stud. You want fucking that fucking come Tuesday idiot slobbering all over himself.
It is come Tuesday.
Watching buddy. Everything he does, unable to talk because he's a moron.
He's a Neanderthal. There's a difference.
He is. Lars.
He's a caveman. They need another caveman.
Yeah. Bring back That's Lars.
Awesome. I cannot wait for Indusher to just be beating people up in the mid card, and then Von Wagner will come out and be part of that too. Because
real question for you with Indusher: do you think they're going to be booked once we get past Saudi Arabia?
Oh no, God no! Here's the thing. This is the one thing I've noticed in watching NXT. And I think Guthrie would agree with me. Sanga is that his name? Sanga.
Yeah.
The non-Veer guy.
The bigger guy.
Yeah, he has the kindest, gentlest eyes. He played a very sympathetic role in that NXT run. Like, I was like, holy shit, this guy can really like portray like a big soft teddy bear.
After post Waller, he was a baby face.
Yeah, he was.
But then
great.
They just like they throw gender back down there and like, oh, gotta make him heal again.
It's just like, here's the thing. This is gonna come off a certain way, and whatever. It's me, and people are gonna point fingers at me anyway. I think I'm just really tired of foreigners being heels. Like, I think that's lazy, in my opinion. Like, there's no reason that these guys can't be fucking baby faces if they want to be.
I mean, not them specifically,
but I mean, like, just there's
yeah,
some people who fit, but like, it's a problem.
I understand with them, like, you can't be aligned with gender and be a baby face. So it's just like, it's not like they've done when Ali was a baby face forever. And then we wanted him to turn heel to see if he could have that edge. And then we've got these millions of weird gimmicks since. But it's one of those like, gender is a heel forever because he has a heel face. Like, there's never a point in time where you could try to make gender a baby face because his fucking scowl is perfect, menacing heel. So if you're aligned with him, you're going to be a heel forever until you're not aligned with him. The adorable little Bollywood boys were fucking heels with gender, and they're great.
They were great.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I mean, clearly there's 2 billion people in India that must love them. So across the globe must love them. Like, I think it's just, we're more sophisticated fan base nowadays. Like, I just think that, you know, I'd love to see different things happen, but that's just me. Anything else you got, Heedy? You want to get into it?
Yeah.
That's what you get. That's what you get.
I guess it's heat just because it didn't happen. I was disappointed Liv got injured because I thought the match on Friday with Damage Control was pretty damn good. We don't know how long she's on. I'm assuming it's short term because they're keeping the titles. But then your girl, Rhonda, comes back and fucking flubs a kick. But hey, you know what? Liv and Raquel versus the fucking MMA girls. Like, this is what we've been waiting for.
When I was looking at this, all I could think of is, do you think Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are going to be the saviors of those titles?
Do you really think that? It's the same reason why I like Liv and Raquel having them is they're on TV every week. So by default, then yeah, it would help. Because when Ronda and Shayna have them, guess what? They're going to be on TV every week, which is inherently good for the titles.
No, I understand that. But I just think that we need a dominant tag team to win these things and hold on to them and run through roughshod of all these random people. Because I was beyond confused on Friday with SmackDown when they had the voodoo chicks watching, you know what I mean, the matchup. And I thought, well, that's cool, but they're not going to give those women the championships right out of the gate because nobody knows who they are yet.
They still have championships.
Well, that's true.
Again, it's just like all the championship nonsense in WWE, because another week went by and you have fucking Rhea parading around the SmackDown title on Raw with them not acknowledging it, and Bianca parading around the Raw title on SmackDown with them just... It's like everything that is a title in WWE that isn't the Intercontinental right now is a fucking mess. I mean, because obviously Theory's competing to be in the world heavyweight, so he's still the US champ, like whatever. But it's just like, besides the IC title, all the titles in WWE right now on the main roster are in fucking like random peril mode for one reason or another.
Okay. Well, maybe, just maybe. So let me ask you this. Would you be satisfied if they just did a reset with everything? Like if they came out and said, okay, we're giving all the belts back. We're doing all tournaments or something.
That'd be fucking stupid because you have.
People to just switch them to fucking things?
I think that they should either just switch them or change the fucking names to the same names you have the men's titles. Women's World Heavyweight Championship, Women's WWE Universal Championship. Done. Then you can fucking draft them to a different show every fucking year and it won't matter. It's not that.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to talk about that's heady or we want to just get through the quick heats?
I felt bad for my boy Corbin. He got caved in what, 4 seconds?
Yeah,
it just allows them to run back the match. It's a good way to give Grimes a debut, but it's one of those things like, and I'll say this as someone who was very anti-Cameron Grimes when he first started because I thought he was ugly and annoying. The way you become a fan of Cameron Grimes is just how fun he is and how good he is in the fucking ring. So at some point, like, you got to have this guy showcase a little so people actually care about him.
Our boy Sir Wesley says, so happy almost all of the call-ups have been involved in a storyline and getting honest shots to make an impact. So, look, I agree with our boy Wes. Like I said earlier, the vignettes got me hot and bothered. I'm excited for these things. I thought on Raw they did a better job of all these newer people instead of on SmackDown, but that's because SmackDown's a 2-hour show. And, of course, you know, it's, you know, it's Roman time, so it is what it is. However, I will say that we didn't talk about one thing that I am very excited about and then not excited about was that Pretty Deadly was on my screen. And then I went, oh, they're going to get fucking lit up by the Brutes. Like I felt so bad, but it's going to be such an interesting feud.
That's going to be a good match though. I think that's a good way to kind of show off like how good they are and they can play with Butch's like butchiness.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it. I just think like they probably the segment this week was kind of weak. I agree to set it up. They probably could have done a little better, but
I mean, I did crack at SmackDown is now snacked like SmackDown. Like Smackdown. I thought that was funny. Like again, huge fans, but at the same time, I'm thinking to myself like, what do you do with these tag teams? Like it felt like Friday and Monday they were parading her out all these tag teams
just so Roman can get the title, baby.
And all I could think about,
God, I love it.
All I could think about was KO and Sammy to me have been so fucking cooled off with this. Like obviously Roman ruins everything, but when I watched them, all I could think about was, man, they were so red hot and now they're not. Like I couldn't care less about those tag titles. You were main evented WrestleMania. And now I don't care about they, it's like not even a steep decline. I mean, it went from like 6 to midnight. I mean, midnight to 6, I guess, is the other way to do it. But, like, it went down, like, to 0 for me. For me. And I want the tag team.
Tribal cuck. It ruined everything. It ruined everything. But now he's back, and he's going to right the wrongs by winning every championship in WWE.
So, Dom makes a great point here. He says, ain't no coming back for KO. We had this conversation last night, him and I. I think that KO is one of those people that no matter what he does, he makes everything amazing. He's just that great at his job. But what sucks is he goes through these lulls where he has to wrestle Elias. Then he has to wrestle fucking.
But isn't that most top stars? Because I feel like if you're not like on like the top level, like you have a lot of those guys, like there's a reason why Brock goes away for a little while. So he doesn't have to do that. But I feel like that's just a natural order of superstardom. But I do think once we can get through the post-Roman era and the fuck era, I didn't mean to do that, but that, and like through their tag title reign, which I assume for them is going to be lengthy, like he's a guy that can be a focal point when you have split titles with this new fucking little ring pop belt on Raw. He'd be a guy that I would love to see win it at some point.
Now I want a ring pop. Will you get me a ring pop?
I mean, I can get you one off WWE.com for fucking $1,000, which is probably what they're charging for that piece of shit.
No. I mean, like the actual ring pop.
Yeah, I can get that you for 25 cents out of a fucking candy store.
Yeah, I would wear a ring pop on this program and keep sucking. That's what I would do.
Oh, well, you're always sucking on this program.
Well, that's not debatable at all. I'm sure if the doctor was here, he'd tell you I was already sucking on my knees. Anyway, moving on.
He's probably in bed.
Yeah, he's probably an old fogey. Anyway, on that note, anything else you want to talk about? Because Cameron Grimes we talked about, but also another person you're excited about was Grayson Waller next week.
Yeah, well, he hasn't really done much yet. This week on SmackDown, him and AJ Styles, baby, on the Grayson Waller Effect. I love that little callback because their NXT feud was super hot fire. So I love that's a good way to like kind of get Grayson. And I'm excited to see how that talk show looks on the big stage.
And our boy Joe Pollock, very quickly, was a placeholder contender at best for the cuck until Sammy was ready. I don't tend to agree with that.
I will say this. KO would challenge Roman more than anyone, which means he's a reliable main eventer. I believe he lost to Roman like 3 times during that run at all different points. Like, he's the ultimate guy where it's like he's just so versatile. He's like their new Ziggler, but better.
I don't know about that, but he has
because he's literally they can put him with literally anyone on top of the card, and he produces banners, and all his feuds are good. That's why I say but better, because he's better.
And the one thing we didn't talk about, we went all the way this far without talking about your American Nightmare. We did not talk about the promo. The name of the program this week is Frog and the Scorpion. That had a head scratcher to me when he cut that in the promo, but he brought it back. The one thing that I will say, and at least you can, and again, you're going to be kissing Cody's ass and wearing the neck tattoo.
Cody's amazing.
But of course you will. You know what? You should just take the neck tattoo and put it on a tramp stamp. That's what you should do.
I don't have one. You've been looking at my ass? I got one on each cheek because I'm a little, double nightmare, bitch.
The little crown peeks out when your thong pokes out. It's wonderful. Anyway.
I poop nightmare fuel.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's disgusting. Anyway, the one thing I will say that I think is lazy on WWE's part, not necessarily Cody's part. It felt like Cody was trying to give the reasoning for why Brock beat him up, and I thought that was stupid because
he's
I wanted to hear
like twice now.
No, but I just did it
the week before too, where he said like he's like I don't know, maybe it's just because Brock's been on top so long. Now that I'm in his spot, he's mad about it. Like I just
don't like that stuff because I feel like
yeah. But how is that Cody's? That's my point. Is like
no, it's not Cody's
fault. It's like Cody's being asked to feud with a guy who's not there, and we're already in match two of this program, which could be fucking three. And you know how I feel about when you run all this shit back to back. There's a reason why I haven't brought it up because there was nothing to it. It's like it's Cody filling the best he does, but when Cody's on my TV, I enjoy it because he's amazing. But it doesn't mean it's interesting. Like there's nothing to talk about. It's like he's facing Brock again. He talked about a frog and a scorpion, which made me laugh because it's fucking Cody. It's AEW Cody with fucking big words and stories. Your favorite.
Oh my god, this guy should be a heel. Like I know he's not going to be because he's over like Rover, but goddamn,
he's like the biggest baby face in wrestling.
I know. I know. I'm just saying he would be an amazing heel.
He will be again.
When he is, I'll be a full-fledged member of that Nightmare family. But until then, I don't think it's going to happen. So it's going to be five years from now. Should we get hopeful?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're not going to like my hope. Glorious, you're my only hope. My hope is about Roman Reigns. And I loved when he walked by the fucking World Heavyweight Championship. He kind of looked at it and laughed. So this is what I want to happen in Saudi, is Roman gets himself inserted into that match. It's a triple threat. Roman Reigns pins Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns wins the World Heavyweight Championship. And not only does he have the 3 sets of single world title belts, he also has fucking the 2 straps of the tag belts, and he just fucking walks on out of town. Because you know what, WWE? You already told me that nothing else matters except for Roman. So that's my hope, is I would just... Honestly, I'm at the point now where I just want to see I want to see the world burn. I want everyone to be miserable because I'm so far gone. It doesn't even matter anymore. Like you said earlier, all I can do is laugh. All I can do is laugh now. So my hope and like my most evil hope ever is that Roman somehow in fucking that villainous country is the biggest villain ever by winning the new toy. And we have fucking 5-belt Roman walking out of Saudi, baby.
Why would you put that into the universe? You want to see the world burn.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done.
I would just like to say for this episode specifically, you are the heel. Like I did not expect that this week.
Yeah, you put mediocre television on and you sell me sacks of shit. I'd tell it how it is.
What if Roman wins the Money in the Bank and cashes in on AJ and
I love that too. I love that too. That's even better. I hope Roman inserts himself in a Money in the Bank and fucking cashes in on one of those fuckers. And that's perfect. Perfect.
Joker.
Oh, sign me up.
Oh, my God.
Sign me up. Oh, Danny for the win.
Danny's hope is better than anybody else's.
Oh,
my
hashtag
hope.
Danny knows. Hashtag Danny's hopes come true.
Also, on a personal level, Danny got interviewed by a UK Yahoo. It's out on Twitter. Go check it out. Danny's done a really great job in that article. So we love him and we just want to support him and all that he does. Anyway, my hope is not necessarily as great as Danny's or JC's. When is it really? But I was interested in the Becky Lynch promo. And all I could think about was when Becky Lynch talks and she's fired up, like she does a really good job. And last week they played the Thank You Trish promo. And then she kept saying, she went back to it this week and she was saying, you know, you lit a fire under me. Now I can say thank you, Trish. Do all this stuff. But the one thing I want to see here at Night of Champions, folks, is that Trish Stratus gets the big W here. Because if we get Becky Lynch getting the victory here right out of the gate, we're done with it. And I don't think we're done with it. And I think that Trish Stratus, in my opinion, is doing the best work she's been doing. And here's what I would like to see, because I think it would be very interesting. Seth Rollins. He's not going to get involved in this at all. So Trish beats Becky. Trish gets inserted into Money in the Bank, wins Money in the Bank, and then beats Bianca Belair.
So she goes to SmackDown or
yes.
Does she stay on Raw? How does
no,
that
she
work?
Goes to SmackDown.
We have the SmackDown superstar.
Because I think I just think that her versus her having that championship, like Rhea just got it, so I don't feel like Rhea can lose it right away. I feel like Belair is just waiting for somebody to beat her, and I feel like Trish is the only one on that show that could beat her now if she gets put over there. So for me, having Trish in the bank would be phenomenal. By the way, just on a personal level, like they're going to Saudi Arabia. You're going to cover up Trish. Are you fucking out of your mind?
They've been slowly laxing that a little bit. So I'm curious.
No. I'm just saying
there's
she walks
a lot more
out,
woman on the card.
She walks out like that. And they're going to put her in a Saudi Arabia specific. I'm just saying.
You can go on the internet, Nestle, if you need to be horned up. You know.
Well, I don't need to be.
Some of us watch wrestling for the purity of wrestling.
Yeah, says the guy that wants to bang on. Never mind. I'm not going to. You're a big fan of particular Mandy Sachs. That's all I'm just going to say.
She doesn't work for them anymore.
I know, but that doesn't mean you're not going to be fapping yourself dry.
You got mad that she was playing with herself and cost herself her job.
Well, I'm just saying I'm angry because there are people who have done worse. And they're still employed.
Yeah, they singled her out. It's WWE hates women. We know this. We watch how they book them.
I'm just saying, not to point fingers.
What are your thoughts of this feud paying off in Saudi, though? Because I think Becky and Trish is one of the better actual feuds we've had since Postmania. It's been one of the more interesting in the evolution of Trish getting away from the fucking worst baby face ever, getting into like more of what's clearly her wheelhouse, especially now, like being a heel, and it makes it easier to forgive some of her fuck ups as a heel because it makes it almost better. I thought that they'd slow play us a little more, but they're clearly using it as one of the big matches in Saudi.
I don't think this is over. But I think they're going to pause it because you have to get to SummerSlam at some point. So that's why I think Trish winning the championship from a Money in the Bank cash in and then having it and then like maybe she does go to maybe she stays on Raw, cashes in on Rhea. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But Trish Stratus winning the Money in the Bank and then cashing in to me seems like something she's never done. And she's considered the greatest of all time anyway. So let's give her something she hasn't done. Let's do it. Like and then Becky Lynch maybe can come in and find a way to win that, or it's just something because
you're forgetting about the Lita in the bank contract that you took out. Like Lita's coming back at some point now. So you want Lita and Trish at SummerSlam for the title?
No, God no. I don't want Lita anywhere near my TV. The last great match she had was last year in Saudi. That's the way she should have ended it because that was beyond expectations and she should have left.
Yeah,
I just
realized that Becky with the back-to-back legends in Saudi.
Yeah, that because that's what
give her Goldberg next.
I was just going to say, Saudi Arabia might as well be called Legends Mania. That's all it is. That's all it is, folks. We just parade around people who
are
you
50, sad we're not getting Goldberg, The Undertaker, or HBK in Saudi this year?
Well, HBK doesn't want to wrestle, even though he's HBK. Goldberg should never wrestle again, and he will in fucking Wembley
he's
Stadium.
He's going to be in Wembley, baby.
Yep.
And who do you want to see Goldberg face? Pop quiz, immediate.
Right now, QT Marshall. I'm kidding, obviously. I'm fucking kidding. Wardlow.
Are you going with the rest of the world that wants to see Wardlow?
I do
want to
see Wardlow.
Goldberg?
I want to see Wardlow. I just
the
don't
problem
know
is though, whoever Goldberg faces, Goldberg has to beat. I don't want to see him manhandle Wardlow.
Hobbs?
So.
I feel like Hobbs would be cool.
Poor Hobbs has already been done so dirty.
So who's somebody that can take an L then on
I don't know. QT Marshall is a pretty good
I just feel like you can give him the Dolph Ziggler treatment, right? He can sell, so let's do it. Plus, I just want to see Dom vomit, like, right here. See, there it is. There it is. On cue. There you go.
How about this? Goldberg versus Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Somebody wrote in, oh, Jericho versus Goldberg. Yeesh. Considering that feud in the 90s? No, thank you. I don't know. Goldberg has to be.
Goldberg versus Jay White.
Sting?
Oh, God, no. Goldberg would probably end Sting's career again. Worse than Seth Rollins did.
Big Show?
Oh, God.
Imagine him getting them up in Wembley, you know?
Oh, it's getting worse.
Well, I'm just trying to relay all the sacks and nonsense that are over there. That's all. That are just collecting the paycheck. Christian Cage versus Goldberg. Best spear ever. Come on.
I don't want Christian's neck to get broken.
I don't know. He loves Christian. He loves Christian. So
who doesn't love Christian? Christian's a fucking man.
I just feel like Goldberg's not going to face anybody that he doesn't already know. That's what I'm saying. He just seems like that type of guy.
Goldberg versus Don Callis.
The big thumb.
Yeah.
I'm Don Callis. Like that's it. He's a thumb. Every time I see him, a thumb.
You know what? I actually have a real answer, and I'm going to go to the comeback, because my comeback this week is Miro, baby. He's back on AEW TV. He walked into Tony Khan's office, probably because he's going to be a big part of the Saturday CM Punk AEW Collision show. But there's my answer. Goldberg versus Miro. Miro got to face The Undertaker. Wasn't that in Saudi? Why not have him fucking face Goldberg in Wembley? There's your answer, because Miro can take the pin, but also Miro could make it interesting because he can machka all over that fucking giant muscle. So there it is. Goldberg versus Miro. Book it, Tony Khan. You're welcome.
Dom, I love you so much, but we are just fucking around right now. Like, we can't
do this. It's not official, but if Goldberg isn't going to wrestle again at WWE, Tony Khan would be stupid not to fucking sign him up for a big show.
I agree.
Like, it's one of those things, and everyone in AEW has said, he's like, yeah, if Goldberg's available, you have to get him. Even if they don't want to be the ones to have to fucking lay down for him, it's just like, it's fucking Goldberg. I don't fucking like Goldberg either, but when Goldberg's on TV, you're next. I got to watch.
I mean, I imagine that first show, they're going to be like, here's Goldberg. Here's Goldberg. I'm just saying. So it's going to be rough. But anyway, is that your comeback, by the way?
Yeah, Miro's my comeback, and I would love to see him in Goldberg. So
all right, my comeback goes to AEW Dynamite as a whole, because I thought last Wednesday's show was the best show they've had in at least a year, in my opinion. Obviously, everybody was shocked that Don Callis turned. It was the easiest thing to predict, in my opinion.
They've been teasing it for months.
Just because I'm sure we'll hear about it on Wednesday. However, the other matches that were on there were great, too, so I just thought there was a lot of great storytelling in that aspect of what they're doing with MJF, as well as everything else that's kind of going. Like the Christian stuff was great too. Like they're doing.
Which match was your favorite? I'm curious.
I'd have to look at the listing. What was last week's?
My favorite match on the card was Anna Jay versus Julia Hart Part 2, baby. Violence. Well, I love violence.
Yeah. Well, you love a lot of things about those.
No, cages. I love violence, and I also hate steel cage matches. So it's a pretty easy answer.
So that steel cage match might be the weirdest steel cage, because the bar is above the apron, and I always thought that was the weirdest fucking thing I'd ever seen in my life, but you know, it is what it is. I mean, I'm trying to look back and see what they did last week.
Yeah, it was Anna Jay and Julia Hart. Thank you.
That's the best match. No.
That match was great.
I don't know.
Both their matches have been great. Julia Hart's entrance is fucking cool as shit too.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Sheeta, so that was always fun too, to see Sheeta.
She didn't wrestle.
No, I know, but I just like Sheeta in general.
Favorite match, not ask fucking horny Nestle of the week question.
I'm not always like that, all right? Jesus Christ, you're giving me a bad rap for crying out loud. Good God. I'm just trying
we're
to
both find defaming it. Each other today.
Well, yeah, it was your birthday.
This is a weird week in wrestling. Like, I came into the show today and I was looking. I was like, man, like, this is just such a weird week to, like, talk about stuff, because we're in such a weird zone where there's not a lot of, like, I don't know. It's a weird time as a wrestling fan, which you always kind of get that after Mania, but we also just had that huge high of Backlash, and now we're getting ready for this weirdly booked show, and AEW is starting to make strides, and I think has been improving for months. Like, I think they've started to really invest more into storytelling, and like you said, I think this past week's was one of their stronger shows in a while. It's probably not my favorite in the last year, because I don't give a shit about Moxley and Omega in a cage as much as other people. I enjoyed the Callis turn, like, and stuff, but
yeah, but I mean, even Orange,
it was
Cassidy
a good put together show.
Cassidy and Garcia was great to
that
start
was a banner. That was the actual best match in the card. The second best match in the card was NJAS and Julia Hart.
Well, yeah, but I actually enjoyed the storytelling in the cage. I didn't give a shit about Rey Fenix and, you know, anything that the BBC does or whatever the hell that, whatever. BBC. The BCC. I don't know what the hell it is. So here are the matches that happened, right? So I don't care about Rey Fenix and Claudio. I don't give a shit about Black House, whatever the House of Black, whatever the heck it is. And
with the fucking stupid rules.
With the stupid rules. Too many fucking rules. I'll go with that Orange Cassidy is the fucking best champion in AEW still. Like,
he is 100%.
His reign is probably the best reign they have. What I'm nervous about going forward, and maybe you're happy about this. I'm not. But when they split the Collision, because we're assuming that Wednesday's announcement is the whole big Collision thing, and they're going to be streaming and whatever, the whole thing. Do you actually think that they're going to keep those championships separate and that there's another world title on Collision?
I don't. I mean, what they should do is just make like the TNT title the main thing, but it's just one of those things also, like if Punk's on that, you know what I mean? So I honestly, like, they should just do what the WWE formula should have been always, is that, like, I know they're going to have split rosters, but they're not really going to be split rosters. But it's just one of those things where you kind of treat it like Dynamite Rampage now, where, like, I think you, like, the champions can do whatever the fuck they want. I think if you're a champion, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You can go wherever you want. You can be challenged by wherever you go. I think that probably is the best solution for AEW rather than adding more championships or solidifying those titles on the certain shows, because I don't want two sets of tag belts, especially when you already have a company with fucking a whole set of Ring of Honor fucking belts. Never mind fucking two sets of Trio belts and fucking 80,000 Pure and all these other random fucking titles in Ring of Honor. So it just, the worst case scenario for AEW with this new show is to add more championships. I think it's just, I don't think it's going to be like a WWE brand split, because the more of the reason for the rosters being separate on their shows is because these fucking children can't get along. That's the reason. It's not for any brand integrity or any bullshit like that. It's literally because the inmates can't get along in the fucking asylum. So the fucking warden has to fucking have separate wings to keep some of his fucking divas over here and some of his fucking divas over here, because they're all fucking children.
I do think it would be better to have TBS and TNT title, tag titles, trio title on another show, you know, one woman's title, another woman's title on another show. And then the world champion for the men's can go, maybe the, you know, just.
But that's also like how you get into, like, we get with WWE sometimes, where, like, the feuds get stale. Cause you know what I mean? There's like, you're feuding.
There's like hundreds of fucking people in
AEW. I know, but it's one of those things. If you put the tags on one show and the trios on the other, what happens if a good trio pops up on Wednesday, but then a trio on Saturday loses someone and now they have to be a tag? Like, I think you just keep the flexibility open in terms of the champions, that they go wherever they want. And then, like, you can say, this is CM Punk's show. This is the Elite show, because they can't intermingle because they're fucking children. Oh, and Thunder Rosa has to be over here because her and Britt Baker can't be together because they're fucking children. It's just like, it's actually pretty hilarious. It's like, this shit obviously happens with any locker room. This shit definitely happens in WWE too, but it's like, WWE has fucking management that can fucking handle it and tell these people to be professional. AEW has a fucking snowman fucking too busy with what's going up his nose rather than what's going on our televisions.
Yikes. Hot take, cold take, whatever it is. It's up his nose. It's up his nose.
Should we preview AEW this week?
Let's do it.
All right. This is a WrestleMania episode if I've ever seen one. So we have a 6-woman tag. Hayter, Baker, Sheena versus the Outcast. This feud sucks. Please, for the love of God, just get Jamie in singles.
I mean, they're coasting for Jamie and Paige at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, but it seems like that might be the double or nothing match, and I'm fucking couple weeks.
I don't think so. I really don't.
I don't know. It's one of those things. It's like, this sucks.
You know what? To go back real quickly to the Collision thing, I just want to mention this. We're already having enough problems getting enough matches on pay-per-view. With this, it's going to get even fucking worse.
Well, it means you can stick more people on. I thought the last pay-per-view, they did a lot better. They had a lot more of like those lower card pay-per-view matches on TV. I think this gives them more opportunity to maybe do that, have more TV feuds like WWE does. Next up in the Nestle special, we have a false count anywhere match between Chris Jericho and Roderick Strong. WrestleMania dream match.
This match, even if Chris Jericho was in his prime, I wouldn't give a shit about. I mean, he looks like baloney in leather pants. And then it's Roderick Strong, who has the personality of a wet towel. Like,
at least he's wet now.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Wet or dry have more personality?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes you're more useful when you're dry, you know, depending on the situation. So
sometimes you're more useful when you're wet, though,
too. That's true, but only in most situations is it better to be dry. I'm just saying. There's only one situation where you can be wet.
That match sucks. Next up, another match with no personality. Jungle Boy Jack Perry taking on Roosh.
I like Roosh.
Yeah, he's no personality.
You know what? Here's the thing. I saw him. I read an interview about Jungle Boy talking about how he just does promos because he has to. He doesn't
he
like
hates
them.
Promos. Yeah,
all I could think about was get the fuck out of the business. You don't need the money. Like, I know you're probably doing it because
you just
love
it. Wrestle in the fucking indies where you don't have to do promos.
Like, you're taking up a fucking spot, in my opinion. Like,
or be in a tag team again with a dinosaur and just
Whatever. Like,
get out of the main event because you're not a main event.
And I think that's the problem is like as much as I like Sammy Guevara, like. He's not a person to me that you. He might
neither
be a world champion.
None of the three guys challenging for the title are ready for a world championship match. That's why they're all together. But it just magnifies the even more because MJF is just on another plane in terms of the total.
The three of them combined aren't as good as MJF, in my opinion.
I agree.
But I'm not saying they're not great.
But I'm high on Sammy and Darby still. I just think like they're both, especially Sammy is so fucking young and he still figured shit out. And then Darby, like there's a reason why you stick him with Sting and stuff because have Sting fucking cut his promos for the love of God. Sting is such a good promo.
If double or nothing, it'll be tough.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And the last match up is Ricky Starks versus Jay White.
This is where
they signed Jay White Nessel to stick him in tag team main events on Rampage. Think about that. This man could have entered the Royal Rumble and been the hottest thing in wrestling with WWE, but instead he went to AEW to fucking be an afterthought and wrestle in a fucking tag team immediately and not have any single spotlight or feel like a big deal. We already don't think he's a big deal, me and you, because we're kind of assholes, but like AEW has treated him like a jag. He's a jag. And that's sad because the way fucking Tom and Conway and all those guys talk about him, like he should be a fucking main eventer. I'm looking at him. I'm like, man, you'll be lucky if you get the Adam Cole treatment in AEW.
I just think there's too many people that he thinks are main eventers. And that's a fucking problem. Like, I don't think, like we talked about, none of those pillars, with the exception of MJF, are a fucking world champion. And Jay White is not going to be anytime soon. Keith Lee should have been a main eventer in WWE, and now he's fucking gray and a fucking wizard kick. He might as well put a fucking dunce cap on him.
New look is just mind-blowing because like, he looks like he aged 100 years.
It looks like the man went to a fucking wizard convention, came back, and decided to leave the fucking cape on. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on with him. I don't tune into Rampage to begin with, but when I see these clips, I think to myself, on what fucking planet did he come from? What fucking planet did he come from? And poor Dustin, you know, is just sitting there with his fucking half face painted.
They're a pretty fun tag team.
They are awesome, but it's just like it boggles my mind. Where it's like, I don't know, what do you want to do? I don't know, what do you want to do? Like, this is AEW. What do you want to do? Go out and have a fucking indie-rific match. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
That's the AEW preview. We also hear from Don Callis. He'll explain his actions, and Sammy Guevara will also talk. So.
I'm Don Callis.
Yeah.
I'm going to start drawing.
But where do you think they go with this feud? Because I do think it's interesting because he's been Kenny Omega's lapdog forever. Like, does he side with someone else or does this eventually have them reuniting and this is him trying to motivate Kenny? Like, how do you see this?
Well, I tend to think that the end game here is that Don Callis aligns himself with the Big Black Hawks. And then when he's done with that,
so he's a new William Regal?
He's a new William Regal. And he steals Takeshita away from fucking Kenny. So it's Takeshita's part.
He did bleed with the BBCs. And when you bleed with the BBCs, you become a BBC.
Iron Shard. Yep. Big Black Cocks. Everything.
Iron Shards. Iron.
Yeah. Iron Shards. Iron. or black cock sharpens black cock. But anyway, the other thing that I would say here is, so that's going to happen, which leads to like 5-on-5, and then they're going to get fucking Ibushi to come in. So they'll have fucking war games at some point too. So Ibushi will get with Kenny. It'll be a fucking big deal. And then Hangman comes back and it'll be a fucking 5-on-5 fucking ha for fucking Wembley, or fucking the week after Wembley and All Out or whatever. And that's what they're going to do. Like that to me makes the most logical sense. But again, logic goes fucking right out the window. I don't have a window over there, but it's over there.
I don't enjoy those 10-man feuds all the time.
I don't enjoy four on four.
I know, but it's I don't know.
How much you want to bet I'm right, though?
No, you're 100% right. I don't think it'll be Ibushi, but it'll be Hangman, the Bucks, Omega, and they'll think it's going to be Takeshita, and then he'll go to, like you said, the Big Black Cox. And they'll have to get someone else, and it'll be like Jericho probably, so he can fucking jerk himself off in a 10-man match again. I don't know. It'll probably be fucking Jay White or Adam Cole.
Oh my God. Maybe Adam Cole, but I feel like Adam Cole versus MJF is what they're doing for Wembley, but I don't know.
That would make sense, because it feels like Adam Cole should be the guy at some point, the first believable guy to maybe beat MJF, but who knows? Maybe MJF will be like Roman and just beat everyone. That'd be great.
I don't know. I just think that I'm kind of done with MJF. Like, he's been such a monumental character, and then he got that championship, and I thought he's not been doing his best work, in my opinion.
Why? Like, I think the big reason, right? It's this fucking feud stinks.
Oh yeah,
like, we want to watch. I think the come around. I think the Adam Cole feud is a big one. I'll be very interested, and I think the come around with Wardlow eventually. Like, I'm very in for that. We given their history, and I think they could do a better job. This Pillars feud, it felt like this wasn't the time. And it was weird to me that they went through it. Like, that's why I thought, like, maybe he'll run through these guys on TV. Maybe we get Jungle Boy and Sammy on TV, and then we do MJF and Darby, and MJF beats Darby this time. And then maybe, like, they give him the Cody Roman treatment. Maybe in a year, Darby's actually the one to get over him, but he had to take the L first. Like, that's kind of what I was thinking. But then we're like, oh, no, we're just going to do a Fatal 4-Way. I was just like, eh. Eh.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to think that MJF needs to lose that championship, but I don't know if he's gonna. Like,
Who do you think should beat him?
I mean, Adam Cole's the one that I would say.
Do you want it that quick, though? Because we talk about the chase all the time. There's been no chase with him. I feel like, especially with what that poor guy's gone through the past year, like, you could really build that up and make it a nice chase here with him. Make it a huge deal.
Maybe.
Or then they just do the Claudio AEW where they just give him the world title because, hey, you know, we'll just spoil him all.
Da 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 da. Yeah, I don't know. Watch out for White and MJF, says Dominic. I don't think that Jay White is as good on the mic as you think he is there, boy. I'm just saying.
He's in a tag team for a reason right now, Dom.
And Juice
on Rampage.
Juice is more entertaining.
CJ Parker, baby. That man came out with fucking signs with cool shit on it. That guy.
And he broke KO's nose his first night.
And he's banning Tony Storm, so that man is a winner. What has Jay White done?
On the mic. You want to say?
I'm just saying in life.
Oh, okay. He's saying wow. I'm just saying.
Dom's me, upset. Sorry, Dom.
Jay White is not as great on the mic as MJF. She's just not. He's just not. I'm sorry. Here's another thing we didn't talk about very quickly. Hangman versus MJF.
Have we seen that?
I can't remember.
Because I do. Because when I was going through it, actually, in my head, that was a name I thought of, but I'm like, I don't want to sound dumb in case they've already done it. But either way, like, since we want to see it, clearly that's an option. That's another
good team. Can't remember because he beat – who'd he beat? He beat Ambrose. Like, what has he done? Like, oh, it happened. Okay. He said it happened. Okay. I just feel like
– I'd be fine to run that back, though.
The thing is like, he's just – he's the cowboy. Like, he's the fucking man. I don't know.
He's the guy when he comes back, he's just over. He's like their Seth Rollins, where it's just like, we like him. We just like him. We want to sing his song. We want to fucking watch a buckshot or a curb stomp. Like, Hangman is their Seth Rollins, where it's just like, if they had a second world championship again, he'd probably just have it. Even though it's like Seth, he's held it before too. And he was a good job, but it's just like, he's not the top guy, but he is one of the top guys. Just inherently
I'm just gonna look at his fucking championship reign because now I need to know. He beat MJ, Sean Dean. No, thank you.
Yeah, Sean Dean's the only guy who beats MJF.
So he beat Daniel Bryan. He beat Takeshita. He beat Ricky Starks. He beat Moxley for the championship in November. He has not defended against Hangman Page.
But I think what I more was thinking is that Hangman defended against him.
I think that's what it was. Yes.
Yeah. If it happened, yeah. I think that's what it was. So there's been plenty of time, and Hangman, like you said, top star. So that's
no. Yeah. I don't know. I just think anything else you want to talk about, you move over to NXT. I'm not NXT. We got SmackDown, right? No.
Yeah, we already talked about it. It's pretty Deadly's Grayson Waller's debuts, and Usos taking on the LWO. Does that get you hot and bothered?
No, I think the LWO peaked after Puerto Rico, in my opinion, and we're stuck with them. So
that's mean, but I really like Santos still. But
I do
he's
too.
Gotta but stop Santos, being pins for Ray.
Santos also has to get off his fucking high horse if he thinks he's a fucking world champion right material.
No,
right now.
You know, you instantly know how you make fucking. They can't do it right now for obvious reasons, but like when he fucking turns on Ray, like that's how you get him going. Like
just, yeah, but he's just not.
You can't do it because Dom just did it. You got to let it breathe. But like right now, he's just happy to be there with his idol and eat pins. And the other two are very athletic. But, you know, they have a lot of Jungle Boy in them. Not much personality.
Is that what we're just going to default to? He's got more personality.
I mean, Christian Cage defaults to Dead Dad feud, so.
But he's still over. He's still one of the best.
See, honestly, like when I watch it, I'm like, Christian Cage just like gets like the best heat in AEW without even trying. Like there are so many guys on that show that try to get heat. And Christian Cage, just like Dom, like he just exists and he has heat. Well, it's to be like, it's your Dead Dad. It's the biggest heel in the world. It's just like, he's the man. I love Christian. I mean, him and Wardlow, that's actually a good feud for Wardlow. And I'm glad that they're doing it because I think it's the type of feud that can get Wardlow going. A guy who's had more start and stops than fucking anyone I can remember in recent memory. Christian Cage is a good way to get that fucking engine revving.
Anything else?
No.
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 All right.
Take us home.
On that note, thank you for listening to the Jobberknocker podcast. We'll be back next week with more Jobberknockery
and BBCs.